Hey, welcome, and please join these two American Transformer fans that go through the UK books from the beginning. We'll look at all aspects of the UK books and whether from cover to cover and deep dive into some of the aspects that many of us take for granted. Boo and I have known each other for over 25 years and have a crazy amount of useless Transformers knowledge to share. So please welcome to us with More Than Mises Guys UK Comic Edition.
Welcome.
Yeah, welcome. Yeah, so we were talking about this before. I started doing notes for the next one, and like, I know I've done this before. Apparently we were all queued up to do this, but didn't do it. So here we are now.
It's a sign of old age.
You're old? Yeah, well, oh. I know. It's not me.
No, it's obviously. Not you.
I'm a spring chicken still. So
I'm like last week's KFC.
Oof.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Ugh. Left out in the sun. I was forgotten on a park bench somewhere.
Left in that back like kind of ledge behind the bench seat in the back of a old Chevelle.
Oh yeah, I've been sunning.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
You're like a egg salad sandwich left out on the dashboard in the hot summer day.
I've got that fast food immortality where I just won't rot. I'm no good to anybody, but I won't rot.
I remember one of the funniest things, one of the first internet deep dives I did was Something Awful did a time lapse thing on different foods.
Yeah, I remember that one.
One of the most disturbing one was the McDonald's hamburger patty. It just got gray.
Yeah.
And it didn't do anything. It
dehydrated.
That's the worst that happened. Some of these things they put out there, and it was just repulsive. Like, oh my God. McDonald's patty was just kind of sad.
Decomposers didn't even want it.
No. They didn't like, this isn't food, man. I don't know what you guys are doing down here, but they ain't right.
When mold and fungus says nope, you know.
I think the buns molded, but that was it. The patty, and like the mustard and ketchup and stuff, like it started to patina and turn colors after a while. But the patty was still like this gray, brownish, and one more gray, like piece of, I don't know, probably all the microplastics in it.
Legend says the patty is still there.
It might be
resisting the elements.
I think they had done it. They put it under in a bush in the backyard and just let it do its thing. And they did things like I think they did like ground beef, and they did other foods like, and that was the one that was like, oh no. way before Super Size Me and possibly worse. That's pretty subjective. I don't know, maybe it's not worse. And pardon me if I'm looking over to the side of it. I did a little rearranging of my desk setup here so I can actually, you know, look at my screen instead of being like looking around trying to read things.
I see. We can't see the toys on your shelf behind you anymore. Tarantulas. There we go. Oh, yeah. See. Now we see feet.
Yeah.
Thanks to the gratuitous feet pics.
Oh, yeah. It kind of cracked me up. I was like, they had this behind me. I'm like, oh, that's tarantulas. I didn't know if it was going to be tarantulas or the facehugger toy from the old Aliens line.
Mm-hmm.
I've still got that somewhere around here.
The 90s one?
Yeah.
Yeah. The one that like haunted like the front of KB Benz for like 3 years.
Yeah. I used to have hang from a rearview mirror with it has a retractable string. It was like red and black.
Nice.
Yeah, it was my hanging rearview mirror for years. I eventually had to retire it because just like the McDonald's patty, it didn't change color in the sun. So I don't know what clear plastic they use, but apparently that recipe was lost.
Yeah, they're not using it now.
No. Man, so we are greeted with an amazing cover of Buster amongst hanging Autobots.
Well, kinda. Mm. Now, this is another John Ridgway cover.
And it looks great.
But if you look, There is a seeker hanging from the ceiling on the right.
Oh, he is.
Yeah. And then, you know, they were all hanging upside down. Well, we got a lot of feet. I see like Jazz's feet.
Yeah.
And.
Well, there's like randomly Sunstreaker's hand hanging down.
Yeah. And Sunstreaker's arm is there. And Sunstreaker's not in that scene. Sunstreaker is elsewhere. So it's different. It's interesting. But it's John Ridgway, so we'll forgive him.
It's pretty.
Yeah.
I'll take it.
And behind Sunstreaker's hand, I believe that could be like a seeker gun.
Maybe.
That could be like Prowl's or Blue Streak's.
I was going to say, and actually, it could be Prowl's or actually Jazz's missile.
Yeah.
Any of those, it could have been. Or actually, the you know, the things that stick out of, I think, is it Hoist?
Trailbreaker.
Trailbreaker, that's right.
Yeah.
Could be that too.
Yeah. So it basically looks like my parts bin.
Yeah. And actually it looks like Soundwave's foot.
Yeah, I was gonna say that's Soundwave's foot, I believe. Yeah, because I think it looked like a little dial right by Buster's arm.
So. That's funny.
Everybody's up there.
Who's that Transformer? It's Soundwave. Oh man. I really like the I guess this is going to be the kind of letter to the editor format going forward.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, transformation.
Yeah, transformation. It looks cleaner. You know, so.
Yeah, it's got a more, I guess, tight design. Like everything is in its place. And I just like the way it's all blocked out.
Yeah, yeah. It looks less chaotic than the old style one they had.
Mm-hmm.
And then we have a Robo Capers, which I guess the robots have joined the union, and they're
it's every boss's nightmare when your workers get free will.
King No knows.
Yeah,
they're going on strike.
He gave them logic circuits, and the first thing they did was go on strike. So, well, you know, they were going to Planet Cringe, so they took him to Planet Cringe, all right.
Yeah, well, and okay, so you sent me a picture earlier that I shared in the Discord of the one with, like, you know, me looking at myself on
Zoom.
I'm trying not to do that. I'm like, hey.
I put the bug in your ear.
Yeah, all right. Now I'm all like nervous and I'm doing it like mugging the
Cerebro shell.
Yeah, there's a little ad for the Transformers summer special, things like, there's little ads for different things they're doing, but, you know, basically a table of contents.
Yeah, we got table of contents and a promo for basically the reprint of the first four issues.
Yeah
but and this is kind of interesting. It has the initial stories from issues 1 through 4. Okay, but I wonder if they meant issues 1 through 8.
It has to be.
Yeah.
Well, 1 through 4, though. Yeah, I would assume so.
Yeah.
I don't know, though. They really drug out the some of these Transformer stories for a while, so.
Right.
Man, and there's a... That's next issue. There's a letter about that. But I won't get that next time. Starts out, we're at the Greater Portland Medical Center. Which... Dude, it's Portland. They're not spelling center that way.
And it's not a dispensary, so. This is Reagan's America still. So.
Reagan.
You got to go around back for that.
And then, you know, there's like Buster's hanging out around the garage, and all the EMTs are coming out like, listen, son, you can't be here right now. It's like, look at my friend. And, you know, they're like, okay, yeah, kid, what's your friend's name? And Ratchet. And Ratchet pulls up and starts talking, and the guys inside are like, what's up? Why is he talking? And there's a whole little banter between Ratchet and him about what they've been doing. And like Ratchet says, well, you know, look, I was a trained medical officer on my planet, so I felt compelled to help out the EMTs. So, you know, he basically had his own form of the Hippocratic Oath, and they needed help, so he went and helped them.
And he pulled the bones on him.
They did. He did. You know,
now, What I thought was funny is, can you imagine being in a parking lot in Portland now and telling people you're looking for a ratchet?
Son, those are legal now. You don't have to look. Just go to the dispensary. There's a whole thing where they're looking in the back, looking underneath, trying to find a tape recorder. I think they're being like someone's messing with them.
They're being punked.
Yeah, pretty much. I almost said that. And they're basically we're getting the story up till now between Buster and Ratchet is like, yeah, my dad, you know, poisoned the fuel, so it really messed up their fuel lines. And Ratchet's like, I knew your dad could be trusted. That's great. And while the EMTs are looking for like what's going on with this talking ambulance, we get the story up till now, which is kind of nice.
Yeah, and you know, Ratchet scares off the EMTs that are poking around in him.
Yeah, he's like, do you get a creature's mind? I don't go poking around your mouth to see how you talk, do I?
And I had no idea that Frank Zappa was an EMT.
Oh, dude, it is Frank Zappa. Well, it is Portland.
Right?
Even Portland.
I mean, he's got some serious facial hair there. That's kind of cool. He could like...
He looks like an extra in a Rob Zombie movie.
Right?
He's the... He reminds me of like whenever they remember the Kids in the Hall, Hecubus.
Yeah,
he looks like he would be a guest star on that show. I mean, what is the name of that show? It was Kevin McDonald.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, what was it? Hecubus and I don't know. It was like the Pit of Darkness. But yeah, he looks like he could have been extra on that show. Anyways. I'm gonna.
Yeah, it was Simon and Hecubus.
Simon and Hecubus, that's what it is.
Yeah.
Evil.
Evil.
But yeah, he scares off the EMTs. There's something I said, and so Ratchet's trying to reach out to the Autobots in the Ark, and he can't quite get a hold of them. So he's gonna go check it out. And you know, Buster's like, "I'm going too. Like, you don't need to go." I'm like, no, I want to go. You're going to look really weird without a human driver. So
the EMTs are still haunting the shadows. Like, it's gotta be a trick. That can't be real. You know, and it's been all over the news about these giant robots turning into cars and stuff. So.
Yeah, but why an ambulance? And, or, you know, also it could be one of those things where like, it's probably stuff going on and not around Portland, even though it's like right outside of town. The Decepticon castles are like right outside of town.
No one takes it seriously because of O's dad in his stupid Optimus Prime costume.
That's so my favorite scenes. God, his dad is like nightmare fuel with his dad.
Hey! Oh, yeah. And those guys like never show up again ever.
No. They're done.
They've
which
written
is probably
out.
Good. he doesn't need to show up anymore. Does his girlfriend not show up anymore?
Oh yeah, Jesse shows up.
I thought Jesse did. Just Owen his dad.
Yeah. Now Jesse has quite a few appearances.
Okay, I thought so. Especially they go to the car wash of Doom.
Yeah, she's in the car wash of Doom. She swam with the Seacons. Yeah. I think Jesse probably did more than Buster did.
Well, that kind of checks out, especially with the new comic, the Skybound comic, because Carly did a lot more than Spike.
Right, you know, yeah, Carly seems to be more important and vital than Spike pretty much any time.
Spoilers, they left Spike hanging out with Beachcomber.
Right.
Let him hang out with a hippie in the jungle.
Oh, yeah, something else I noticed.
Uh-huh.
In the transformation, I meant to mention this, is they give Buster's age as 17.
Oh, okay, so he's actually
the very top blur. Yeah, he's older than Spike is in the cartoon.
It's funny, like, there are times where he looks like he's, like, he could be 17 or 18. Sometimes he looks 14, depending how they draw him. I don't know.
It's when he shaves.
His boyish good looks. So he tells Ratchet he's going to have to get, you know, what he says, like, unfortunately, reasoning is sound, Buster. You can come along. Sometimes your thinking is equal to that of any robot I know. He's like, oh yeah, thanks, bud. I'm gonna tell my dad we're going, and we're treated to the biggest guilt trip,
right?
By his dad. Listen, I know you think the Autobots are your friends, but look, you're a kid. You can't be messing around with them. You're gonna get hurt or something. But I mean, it's almost like spark plugs or Sparky is prophetic.
Oh
Yeah.
yeah.
He's like, you
Well,
know.
he's a good dad.
Yeah. He's like, promise me you won't have nothing to do with him. He's like, I promise, Dad. And you already know he's lying, so
Oh yeah.
good on him.
Yeah, he's trying to be a good dad. I'd tell my kids to stay away from the giant robots that were gonna step on them and shot fire at me.
Those are the
The
good guys.
yeah, the robots who threw a wall of fire. Yeah.
He used his level 7 wizard powers. So then we jump to the arc where the thumbnail of the last issue we did, he has Megatron strung up on the wall.
Oh yeah, he's still duct taped to the wall. He fell asleep at the party.
There's this whole back and forth with them. Like Shockwave is basically telling him, like, here's my master plan. This is what I plan to do. And Megatron's, listens like, oh yeah, well, why did you disappear for like 4 million years? That'd be really interesting to find out. He's like, haha, you think you got me, but I'm not gonna tell you how I got taken offline. Megatron's like, drat, I'll keep
Yeah.
asking.
Yeah, and there's like entire like Megatron soliloquies here that he just keeps like basically mumbling and grumbling about Shockwave the whole time.
Oh yeah, he is big mad. He is just having these thought bubbles of how he's gonna, make Shockwave pay, and he's gonna find some way to do it. And he's like seething, like while he's pinned to the wall here.
Oh yeah, and speaking of word bubbles, when you turn to page 8, the word bubbles change.
They do.
Yeah, they go from the rectangles with the little sparks on the corners
Yeah.
to ovals with lightning bolt tails.
Huh, interesting. Now the rectangles they use, I know they use in G2 also, where they had a little outline of the who was speaking and like what
They had
color
the
it was.
colors, yeah.
Yeah. That's interesting. I wonder how long, and I asked this because I haven't looked at the issues in a while. How long we stay with the circular word bubbles then before we go back to the rectangular?
Well, I know that answer, but I can leave you in suspense if you want. Do you want to know now, or you just want
Just tell
to
me.
ride it? Issue 10, it goes back to the rectangles
Okay.
when they get a new letterer who's Janice Chang.
Okay.
But the UK exclusive stories keep the ovals with the lightning bolt tails.
Interesting. So I wonder why they switched here like this.
Yeah, nobody really knows. They just do.
Right. Well,
Because,
hey, whatever.
yeah.
In a row. So
Well, say
yeah.
it's Rick Parker who did the letters on this one. So,
I wonder if there was some done that ahead of time and he finished these out. Because it's kind of weird that he would just change his style in the middle of an issue.
yeah. But yeah, and the rest of the issue is ovals with lightning bolt tails.
Okay. So Shockwave is like, my advice to you, Megatron, is to worry about the present. And he has Skywarp, Rumble, Frenzy, and Soundwave. They're up and going, and they're dragging the Autobots to get prepared to be like maintenance and like parts
Yeah,
for
there's
all of them.
three of the four that were missing from the hanging meat scene
Oh
are there.
yeah,
Brawn, Mirage, and that's Sunstreaker, but he's colored like Optimus.
he is. I was looking at that.
But look at his feet. He's got Lamborghini feet.
Yeah, he does. Well, barely. But yeah, he does.
Yeah.
Those are
So,
pretty rough Lamborghini feet. Lamborghini feet.
yeah.
Who did the lines in this issue?
Oh, the inks.
Yeah.
Let me see. This one was.
It's.
Where'd it go?
Man, the line art in this is
Oh, the
some.
whole all the art is Alan Cooperberg. So he did
Okay.
the pencils and the inks. And yeah, Rick Parker did the letters.
Okay. Yeah. The I'm sure it was because they had a time crunch to do these, but The line art is rough. I mean, there's like light shading, but it's very, I don't know, that bad perspective a lot of the time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, so. Even on the scene where it shows Shockwave walking beneath all the Autobots hanging, the perspective is really weird because you're looking at him from above, which would mean the Autobots were hanging at like a 45 degree angle.
That's true.
Yeah.
But yeah, he just tells his grand plan, you know, we're going to use him as spare parts.
Yeah.
And they'll, you know, the resupply. And then he's just monologuing to Megatron.
Oh, yeah. And Sunstreaker's crotch is still smoking for where Shockwave made an example of him last issue in front of Megatron.
Nice.
So, yeah, he might want to see Ratchet about that.
It's a little,
he's got
a little
an
shock.
Ointment for that.
Yeah. It's antibiotics. Yeah, he's basically telling Megatron that he's going to extract the creation matrix, that there was a, what was that, like a 99.7% chance. I'm trying to find where it was. There's a huge chance that he, it would be logical to assume that Optimus Prime has the creation matrix in his head.
Yeah, he says 99.7% certainty.
There you go.
That he received it, because Megatron was laughing. Oh, yeah, I can't wait to see Optimus Prime, you know, used as a tool shed, you know, or a supply shed. And he's like, oh, yeah, you underestimate him again. You know, he's probably got the creation matrix. And this is where we get the reveal about the creation matrix is the program that gives them life.
Yeah. And obviously, we know that the matrix changes over time to what we see as we go along in the movie, the comics. I mean, even to like the Bayverse and everything like that. But right now it's basically a floppy disk program in his head.
Right. Yeah,
and
it's a program that can basically make new Transformer life. And that's what Shockwave plans to do with it. He plans to build many more Decepticons.
I think he said he has like 11. He needs more than that. So,
yeah, they only have 11 right now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, that'll change. And then he basically says, I'm going to conquer the whole planet. We're going to need more Decepticons. Then he goes big old space laser mode and flies off.
Oh, yeah. After he calls Earthlings weak, stupid, and inferior.
Well, dude, you saw what he was watching.
Oh, that yeah. He was watching V. Honeymoon. I mean. But.
Yeah.
And we get, I guess, like the first like crossover with the comics or cartoons and comics is he's going to take Earth's energy resources.
Yep.
Which, you know. Previously, they weren't too concerned. They wanted fuel, but they weren't going around and trying to just take energy resources like you see in the Sunbow cartoon.
Well, yeah, but also, it's kind of weird. His Decepticon symbol on his chest that, you know, becomes like the center part of the gun is just kind of, there's nothing there. There's no detail.
Blanked out.
Yeah. That was kind of weird. That's probably just too hard to draw it.
Well, and I believe that's a change from the American side.
Well, this is the American version of the comic, so.
Well, no, it's blanked out on the American, too, so.
Huh.
Yeah, I was looking, and yep, they just drew, like, the too, silver outline on the sticker.
Too complicated.
Yep.
And then we get into our crossword puzzle, the Transform name. Basically, it's, you know, the names of different Transformers all jumbled, and then they're in a crossword.
Yeah, and I solved that one for us. So,
yeah, it's not real tough. I mean, I can look two, see two, like three of them with just looking at the thing. So, yeah, there's four. Okay, yeah.
I thought it was interesting that it's a two-step to it. The first, you have to unscramble the name, and then you have to find the name in the word find.
It's kind of funny that there's Swoop, considering he's not even really in this yet.
Oh, yeah. Well, they've got Kickback in there. And
oh, yeah. Yeah. Look at that. I am gear. Yeah. Speedwise. Or is that Spide? I don't know.
Spidewise.
Spidewise.
Yeah.
I'll drive an Autobot. I wonder who that is.
I saw Jim Duggan.
We got a Transformer Stunt Kite ad, you know, £4.95. And you can have your own.
I tried to find pictures of this.
Yeah.
And every time I found like vintage Transformers kite, It was like from 2003. So it was just making me feel old. So I just stopped looking.
It make you feel that way because you are.
Yes.
Yeah, these are they're probably those plasticky kites had like plastic T-bar things in there, and they would until they hit a tree, they'd rip in like all pieces.
Oh, so, totally. The kite eating tree loved these things.
Yeah, yeah. £4.95 would the kite eating tree. £4.95 is it's about all it's worth. I go to the there's like a little, I think it was called Ben Franklin, or it was originally a Zares. Mm-hmm. That was like down the street from where I grew up, and I ride my bike and get things every so often. And when I had some money, and like I get like cars and things like that. They had like the really, really rough knockoff GoBot things that you can buy for a couple bucks. But I ended up getting a few kites because if you get the bug, like I can do a kite, and that will last.
Especially at the beach, they're great at the beach.
Yeah, I didn't get to go to the beach all that much, but even though I live there, what do you say? The fiberglass struts. I mean, you just call it plastic. Reassembled.
Oh, it sounds fancier that way.
Yeah, 45-foot tubular tail. Yeah, simple instructions, I bet. Yeah. Well, anyways, I can see like there's a little picture down there. Look, he's holding a kite that has Optimus Prime, like the box art on it. And you can kind of make it out.
That's the closest we're going to get to that picture of that.
Yeah, exactly. Planetary, like we're into that now. It just wraps up the Princess Ugly storyline.
Yeah, the Mayhem Maker just goes berserk.
Yeah, just like levels the mountain, the Doom City. And there is this weird, I don't know, it's a weird tension, like love tension with Princess Ugly and Robata.
Right? Like they're fighting over
Terry.
Prepubescent kid.
Yeah, Terry. I know Terry has gray hair or white hair or whatever it is, but dude, he looks like he's 8. And, it's kind of creepy.
Yeah, because they're easily teens.
Yeah, at least.
I guess girls mature faster. I don't know, but
Princess Ugly is also like a head taller than he is.
We've got like a Padme Anakin thing going here.
We do. Are you an angel? This whole thing happens, and they find out through this, like I guess, a spaceship graveyard or whatever, this rocket graveyard. They find the space warp.
It's just right around the corner. Everybody knows about it.
Oh yeah, yeah. We didn't have that space warp. It's been sitting here. Oh yeah. Did you say space warp?
It's
like the wreck of
the Love Boat around the corner.
It does look like the Love Boat too. It looks like a cruise ship that is like the front of it's taken off. Man, what a bougie spaceship his dad had.
Geraldo like knocked off the nose cone there to try to get the treasury safe from it, like the Andrea Doria.
God, that's terrible. I accidentally went ahead and done the next issue, so I know how that all kind of ends. And that weird love tension is still there. It's weird, man. Well, like, first of all, look, I know Robot is a robot. Not okay. Still not okay. Some forbidden love there. But then there's an ad for all these like Marvel summer specials, like Star Wars and A-Team, Master of the Universe, Doctor Who, Spider-Man, and Transformers. And yeah, it looks like it's probably the first 4 issues on the American. So it should be like all 8. Like, just looking at that page there, it kind of seems like it would be.
Or maybe that one is like part 2. Is that what it is?
I don't know. Well, they usually they're like, remember the annuals you would get along the summer specials? They would be like the thicker. They have more stuff in there. I could see that being the whole thing. Because really, they've been doing like piecing the American stuff out. So,
yeah.
They could easily do a 4-issue like trade paperback. Star Wars 1985. Man, look at that old Darth Vader art too. Black suit Spider-Man, so... That was pre Venom and everything. Oh, and our centerfold for this month is Skywarp. Easily my favorite color scheme on the Seeker.
Oh, yeah, he was always my favorite Seeker. I always wanted to get one of the Mexican Skywarps because they have the purple nose cone like they had in the original catalog.
That's right, I've seen that.
Yeah.
That'd be great. You'd probably find that in someone's junk lot. Like, I can rebuild you. I can make you right.
Well, I see guys in some of like the vintage collector like groups and stuff, like posts where they found them. And yeah, I've always wanted to get one of those because I've always just had the regular black nose cone version. And apparently the purple one, it's got a plastic nose cone.
It's not bad. I've talked about it before. I used to work with in Ricky Smith's store years ago, just for credit. So I got a lot of my collection. And every other Seeker that would come in, it like someone's like baby brother chewed on the rubber nose cone.
Mm-hmm.
And without a doubt, it was inevitable. You're like, oh, this one looks great. This is going to have like a chewed off tip of it. Like someone was teething and someone's mom like, here, just take this, chew on that. But yeah. Anyway.
Yeah, there's a lot of those Seeker nose cones you find like that.
Yeah. I'm sure there's all kinds of things. I'm sure some people probably melt in with a lighter. Like, look what I can do.
Put firecrackers in the cockpit.
In his cockpit. Then there you have a little ad for a Lumabot space. It looks like it's glow in the dark stickers.
With that scary kid again.
That kid he's not okay, man. I wonder if he should blink twice if he's in trouble.
I think we need to blink twice if we're in trouble because that kid scares the hell out of me.
You can get all six stickers for £1.49 plus 3 robot points. Man, what did we get for 3 robot points in the American catalog? I think we like 4. You can get some decent stuff. Why would you get glow in the dark stickers?
The Time Warrior.
If only.
Actually, I have it right here. I have the reinforcements from Cybertron, like mailer. And yeah, for 4, you get Omnibots. You can get 4. Power Dashers are 2 robot points.
Oh, God. So you can like get 1.5 Power Dashers for, or instead of plastic glow in the dark things.
You know, or as some of our friends have told us, you can get 2 of the same or get the wrong Power Dasher.
Yeah.
And the Time Warrior was 6.
Oh, he was pricey.
Yeah. I think it's still pricey.
Yeah. I still can't believe it's that much. But considering it's like, it's something that we didn't take for granted, people probably took it out and wore it in the broken up playground. And
yeah,
there's very little that's still sealed up. It makes a lot of sense.
The like stuff all this, that people use is actually what always goes up in price.
Yeah. Well, like, you know, I we talked about the Corona forms. Like my neighbor had the robot one. I had the scorpion one. And those things, I played with those things forever. And I got a lot of use out of it. Though the scorpion one was kind of nice because the tail was metal. The body is metal. And the only thing that was plastic were the claws and the legs.
I remember seeing those. They kept those like in Toys R Us, like in the locked case. Like the manager had to go upstairs and unlock them.
So you and your friends couldn't acquire any.
Yeah, that's why I never had it.
All
we had
right.
Bigger fish to fry. But yeah, you know, looking at some of the later mail orders, they got I guess they were more generous with the robot points because like Reflector only needed 2 robot points.
Yeah.
Thundercracker, Ratchet, Mirage. And all the Power Dash, like everything was like 2 robot points across the board, it looks like.
I never ordered any of those things. I really should have. I kept all my robot points.
Yeah, I didn't like cutting my boxes up.
Yeah, I actually, I would cut the robot points out of them, but I left the tech specs and stuff.
Yeah.
It was just, you know, I thought, you know, collect them all, collect your robot points for no reason, kid.
It's kind of cool if you see the boxes that came in. They came in like the generic white boxes. Like, yep. You know, you had like the generic food that was in the white box with just the plain black print.
It's the like
Transformers
the food
came like that too.
It's like the food on Repo Man. Pea.
Right. Yeah. It's just a white label with black print. You know,
we used to have a store here years ago called Sack and Save.
Oh, yeah. Like, we had one of those too.
It had the generic stuff in there, like the white labels with black writing on it.
Yeah.
It was rough looking.
I was thinking Terry Crews from Everybody Hates Chris.
Also, years ago, actually during the 90s, they had the during the, I guess, Power of the Force, when they put back out, you know, Star Wars figures
on
they
steroids. On steroids.
Yeah. Well, they put out a Obi-Wan. It was like Ghost Obi-Wan Kenobi.
Yeah.
He was all in blue. I got him somewhere. And it came in one of those white boxes. I forgot all about them because they took forever to get it to me. And I also ordered like two or three of those the camouflage Predator figures with the silver claws and stuff. Yeah. They came in freaking white boxes.
I've got the Mummy Mum-Ra like that, but I want to say he came in like it was just a regular brown cardboard box.
Oh, how bougie did you get, man? You got colors. Right? Ours are just white.
Well, you know, and we're kind of back there because a lot of the Gen Select stuff just comes like in cardboard. The black print on it. You know, they have a picture on there, but.
Kind of, sort of. The picture's not really great.
It's like a diagram picture, not like a. Not like the box art you want.
And then I got the Transformers Prime, like I guess Hades version of Megatron. It was really cool because he's like kind of chrome and stuff. And then the box itself had this kind of weird like mountainous outline on it. It was very, I don't know. It wasn't that it was like nondescript. It was just odd. But yeah, he was one that's supposed to look like Dark Energon Megatron.
I'm glad they stopped doing that with the HasLabs. Like, I guess with the Unicron, it came like in the cardboard mailer type box with the black print of, you know, Unicron on it. But at least with, like, you know, Star Saber and Deathsaurus, they actually did nice boxes for them.
The art on those are really cool.
Yeah.
But
I mean, when you're paying a premium, you should get a premium box.
Yeah. You'd hope. I'd tell it to people who try to get a Unicron now. What is he like? $1,500, $2,000?
I see like $2,000 is like the average.
Yeah. I've seen them go as low as like, I think like $1,700, but yeah, about $2,000 is about right.
Apparently they gave one away over this weekend.
What?
Hasbro Pulse had that giveaway.
Yeah.
Yeah, apparently there was like, one of the things you get is the HasLab Unicron, and they had, was that Transformers movie script, like autographed by some of the voice actors and stuff.
I joined that. I guess I didn't get that. Okay.
Yeah. I didn't see it up there either. I don't know if it was just for like the Pulse members or what.
Yeah, well, speaking of things, well, hold on, I was going to say something else and completely lost my train of thought there. Well,
I derailed it.
Yeah, you did. It's good job. Good job. So speaking of things that aren't cool, Crobots.
Chromobots.
So the Crobots has the group in 2535 AD. Seeing like this nuclear wasteland, how do you say it? Is it Mikros or Micros?
I'm gonna say Mikros because you know it sounds Greek, and that makes
with a K.
That's like the coolest thing about this is Mikros's name.
Mikros in his Euros,
right?
His tzatziki sauce. Mikros goes up to explore and comes across a giant mutant creature with a robot head. And it kind of looks like he's got the body of the ever-loving blue-eyed thing.
Yeah, he's like some kind of cyborg.
Rock creature.
He's a big brute.
He's an inhumanoid.
Right? Oh, yeah, that would work.
He kind of looks like one.
Yeah, I could definitely see that. And yeah, it speaks some language that no one understands.
Yeah, like, but
it's like Aramaic or something.
Yeah. And Mikros is like, he says something like, I don't know where this thing came from, but the words, it's like he's almost understanding it, but he's not quite understanding. It's like just off. So obviously there's something going on and there's some kind of connection, but I won't tell because I've read ahead. And it's
ahead, man.
Earth shattering. Earth shattering. Will the Crobots ever?
It's Welsh, isn't it?
Well, no, there's way too many vowels in there to be Welsh.
Oh, okay.
They don't. The only vowel they like is Y, and I don't understand that at all.
Why?
Yeah, we had a like a family thing for what is it? Duolingo.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, man, like Greek, Welsh, I'm going to go see if I can like learn Welsh. No, I can't. No, just don't even, unless you are being forced to at gunpoint or you're being blacklisted, don't do it. I've tried. I had a vested interest in it, and I hated it like after the day two or three. And I can't even say anything of it. Duolingo is good because you're like, oh, well, after a while you learn how to like have conversational. No, not with Welsh. You're not going to.
Can't reconnect with those roots, huh?
No, dude, no. No, it's bad. I don't even know where to begin with Welsh. It's when you hear someone speak it, you're like, that they're, what are they saying? What? It doesn't make even phonetical sense.
Well, you know, some things you just have to like live it.
Yeah, it must be that.
To pick it up. And yeah, some languages you just can't pick up from the computer.
Yeah, it's definitely not a romance language. It almost feels like it's a mix of Norse and Germanic or something. It's just weird, man. I don't get it. I don't really want to. Honestly, it's probably the same thing. They grew up in a small area in like the middle of what we know it as the English continent or English island.
Yeah, and British Isles.
Yeah, English Isles, and they just were by themselves for a long time. I don't know, but don't do it. I might try Greek just because at least, you know, I know it has a Latin base. Well, no, it doesn't.
No, it has a Greek base.
It goes into Latin. Well, and it goes into Latin. So the base of that goes into
Latin. Borrowed some stuff from it, but yeah they have two separate bases.
Yeah, so at least has a connection. Not that I know Latin. What am I even saying? All right.
Well, we still use a lot of Latin words and Greek words, especially like scientific stuff. So,
yeah, definitely that. That's probably, you know, in high school, I had the chance to learn 5 or 6 different languages. You know, my high school had it so you could learn, like, of course, Spanish, French. We had German. We had Russian. We had it. You know, we had Latin. You could take American Sign Language. And like, I was thinking like, man, I should take Latin. And everyone goes, no, it's a dead language. Why would you want to learn that? If I knew Latin, all these scientific names of creatures and plants would actually make sense. So right. Much more sense. But no, I took French because I speak French all the time. Because I'm French in Alabama. So at least Spanish, I would have had some kind of inkling what to order at the haciendas.
Sounds like you were prepping for Mardi Gras.
No, man, I knew you've heard someone speak Creole.
Oh yeah,
it's not even close to French.
Oh yeah, Cajun French is a completely different animal.
Oh, it's awesome to listen to because it's like the guy. You've seen Hot Fuzz, right?
Oh yeah.
So you know the guy who's on the police forces that he talks gibberish. He's like, they have to have someone translate for him all the time. That's what Cajun French sounds like. It sounds like just someone's just rambling on, making nonsense words, and someone says, "Oh yeah, he says I'll have that one." Just I don't understand the rhyme or reason to it, but it's cool. I like hearing it. So we go to the next page after this amazing story of the Chromebots.
The cliffhanger there.
Find another contest from a memo bunny.
Right. Oh, and speaking of French, there's a correction for bon tempi. I looked it up, and that actually means good times.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Bon temps. I was thinking it was more like tempo, but yeah, tempo is actually dealing with the timing in music, so... That makes sense. Well, and that's your romance language there.
Bon temps.
Yeah, bon temps.
Yep. Which is, if you want, everyone watch, who's watched True Blood, that was the name of the town. But yeah, that's what it basically means. So the good time memo bunny, and you have these little clues about who's who. And
he looks, you know, like Wacko Warner.
Kind of does.
Yeah.
Of course, we're looking at black and white. Wacko Warner with more bunny ears.
Yeah. He's in disguise.
I kind of remember these things, actually, thinking about it. I do think I remember these things a little bit. Oh, like a little a variation on it. It may not have been the same one, but something, you know, along these lines.
It's the American version. He had a gun.
Well, yeah, you gotta protect yourself from the people who can't spill. So yeah, that's all these little clues, like who's who, like I require very little fuel to run on Bumblebee because he's a VW bug, man. Come on.
Right.
The name of my game is Stealth and Cunning, which I thought at first it was gonna be Mirage, but I think that's supposed to be Ravage.
Yeah, because he says he turns practically invisible in the dark.
Yeah. My electro destructor makes me appear and where I'm not, which is Mirage.
That's his displacer beast power.
Yep, exactly. I'm an expert flyer, but my real strength lies in my senses, shattering sonic boom, Thundercracker.
Yep. They never go into his questioning the Decepticon cause.
Well, no, that's not
nobody touched that until IDW.
Actually, when the Golden Age of fan fiction archives were a big thing, there had this one story. I remember it was the name of the author was obviously a pseudonym called Jiminy Christmas.
Mm-hmm.
And this apparently his whole story, he read through someone's Transformers Universe comics, you know, like the descriptions of all the characters.
Mm-hmm.
And he liked it so much that he wrote a fan fiction about it where Thundercracker and Dead End are just they're talking about trying to leave the Decepticons, and then goes to the Autobots and finds out that Sideswipe and Sunstreaker are buttholes, and they kind of set him up for failure. And then he goes back and finds Dead End has been like basically lobotomized because he dared to go against the Decepticon cause. It was pretty dark, but he showed one of those things where Autobots weren't always great either. They were pretty awful.
Well, you know, in Aerial Assault, in the deleted scene, the Aerial Bots and Prince or Hassan did that to Swindle.
gave him
they just deleted his memory circuits and
showed
him how to do it. Yeah, his short term.
Like, here, pull up this panel and push this button, and it'll delete us in the short term memory.
Gave him the Eternal Sunshine of the Spotless Mind treatment.
Except that they were disguised as refrigerators. I can't even figure out how that would go into the show. That's probably why I dropped it. It's like this is too far. This even for Transformers, we can't go this far.
Yeah, it was getting too goofy.
But man, I'll tell you, I was enjoying that episode. That was
it,
a
it
lot.
It was a fun episode, but it was silly.
It was definitely not Carbomia. But
apparently they retconned that not too long ago, as it was Iran.
And Carbomia was Iran?
No. The Hassan's Prince Jamal's planet or planet. Country.
Country.
Yeah.
So
but
I'm just trying to think of who Hassan was could have been.
I'm wondering if they played it off of the Shah.
That's what I'm wondering.
Like the Shah was deposed, but that wasn't like back then. There was nothing back then. It was just something. I want to say like the Allspark Almanac or something. Retcon that.
Yeah, so, and then they have the last. But I'll sniff out an intruder and Jiffy. I'm the best tracker on Earth. It's Hound.
That's obviously Hound. Yeah,
and a specialist in interrogation. That's my optical lasers will loosen the most stubborn Autobot tongue. This laser beak.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. Sorry. And I'm skipped the one. I'm an expert flyer. Oh no, that is Thundercracker.
Yeah, you got that one.
So they actually have six, but there are eight names to choose from. I was looking for.
Yeah,
Buzzsaw.
They got two red herrings in there. Yeah, Blue Streak and Buzzsaw were not used.
Huh. Interesting. Very, very tricksy. Trixie Hobbses. Oh boy. And then we're back to Machine Man.
Ugh.
You know, I could have had more Robo Capers. I wouldn't mind that. Or more, hey, more Chromebots would have been fine too. But
yeah, I have mixed feelings about Machine Man. I just started treating it more like a comedy.
It really is. It's if you think of like a dark comedy, like a comedy of errors, like this incompetent robot thinks he's a superhero and really he's not anything. I always feel like he's doing the things wrong.
Like if they brought him into the MCU, they could do it like they did the Werewolf by Night.
Oh yeah, that'd be fantastic.
They did, yeah, it, you know, that tongue in cheek stuff. But yeah, of course, they're still fighting over the rights now, I guess, with DC.
Oh, with Machine Man?
Yeah. They're having like a custody battle over
X-51. Wait, X-51 is brought into another, there's like a subsidy of one of the comic book companies. So the one where he's in the trench coat and he's kind of a jerk.
That was like the pretender one, the one that was like a fake X-51.
Yeah, what comic company was that that put those
out? That was Marvel.
That was Marvel. Okay.
Yeah, that was Marvel.
Okay. How in the world did DC have him again?
Oh, I'd have to look up the details on it, but it's something weird about when like he was first published and just you know, the convoluted rights issues.
There's like which haunts all comics.
Yeah. And I mean, it's almost 50 years later. So, I mean,
yeah,
it seems kind of late in the game to do anything about it.
And honestly, man, it's Machine Man.
Yeah. I almost think like it's custody battle where like nobody wants the kid. It's like, you take him. No, you take him. No, you take him.
Or it's someone like the only person who wants the kid is they only want the kid because they want to be right.
Right.
Yeah. Like, oh, I'm going to leave you the babysitter now. But he's on the road. He's on the trail of Peckman, who's a dude in the was a super embassy.
Yeah,
it's not like there was a super embassy. I think it was.
Yeah, it's a super embassy. You're that sounds absolutely so dumb. Correct. Yeah, it sounds weird.
Yeah, it sounds clunky. So yeah, he's got to. I guess he has photos that he needs to get back to Jack-O-Lantern. And the way that Machine Man tracks him is he extends one of his dynamite arms and like magnetizes himself to the top of his car.
Yeah. Then hovers.
He looks like a kite.
Yeah. He's like a balloon. Someone tied a balloon to his bumper or something, you know, or to his antenna.
He does. Oh man. So.
And it's funny that he so easily uses his anti-grav powers.
Yeah.
Because coming up,
he falls through the ceiling.
Yeah, through glass. He stands on glass.
Yeah,
about using his anti-grav. It's like, Sheen Man's not smart.
You know that. You told me like who Jack-O-Lantern eventually becomes, and it's great because next issue, which like I said, right ahead, they make a very poignant connection to that.
Oh yeah, and this is well before that though, but yeah, he becomes the Hobgoblin.
Yeah. And yeah. I Gears Garvin or one of them says something about a Hobgoblin like grabbing him.
But
yeah.
They beat in Machine Man's face again, you know. Jack-O-Lantern puts him through a wall with his not goblin blast.
Yeah, him and his pogo ball he rides around on.
Yeah. I mean that is totally a pogo ball.
It's a pogo ball that hovers. Everyone wants one of those.
Now he's literally bouncing on it. He's not even like hovering. That's not true. Like a goblin glider. He is literally bouncing on the thing.
You're 100% correct. Like he like bounces off with it.
Yeah.
And so X-51 falls to the glass, like you said. The roof is collapsing. I can't support my 850-pound weight.
Yeah. Which, not much that could.
Yeah. Dude, you're flying around, you're hovering, you're using your anti-gravity powers.
Then he just stops when he lands on glass.
Yeah.
It's like, yeah. Come on, man.
So he has to fight all of the bad guys, but he has to remain calm. Because he can't go crazy.
Yeah.
Man.
For someone that's like, I guess, starting to explore emotions. Oh, he got like crazy real early.
Oh yeah.
Like he got berserker rage like right off the bat.
You know, I'll hand to that. At least he got berserker rage and didn't go all crying in the corner like Data did. But you know, they fight and Pogo Ball Man, you know, jumps around and like attacks him and like shoves his head through a wall and melts his face again.
It's like when you order Samhain from the real Ghostbusters off of Wish. You get
why is my Samhain on a pogo ball? Oh God. Yeah. So that's kind of what this is all about. Then his face melts again and he's got to run away because he's turned into Dark Man again.
Right. And he's got to keep control. And I mean, he talks about it like the whole time and they get away.
Of course.
So there was no point in him even showing up.
No, there wasn't.
He accomplished nothing.
He just melted his face again.
Yeah.
I want to like a Dark Man versus X-51 with a melted face comic.
You know, he's kind of like Marsha when she got hit in the nose with the football. Because he's like, my face is never going to be ready in time for the embassy party.
Man, and that takes a whole different turn next issue. So I can't wait to get into that because I rolled my eyes so many times. I'm surprised they came back to their right position. Man.
That's okay because...
Matt and the Cat.
Yeah, we got Matt and the Cat next. And it's just Matt.
It's just Matt wandering around the planet, you know, wondering where his dink of a cat could be.
Yeah.
And he's abducted by bug-headed aliens.
Yeah, those are the Mizonis
that
were shooting at them earlier. But now they got like a cool like four-wheel drive.
They got like a car. Ranger.
Yeah.
We actually watched yesterday. We had like space movie marathon. We watched Interstellar, which I thought I had seen, but apparently I'd never seen the whole thing. So that was good to watch. And then we watched The Martian. And dude, The Martian, the rover.
Mm-hmm.
I want one of those. Except I don't want to live on Mars and have it, but I want one of those, man.
Drive you want one of those here? Yeah.
Yeah, drive around in the woods and shit. But it kind of reminds me of like a lowered version of that rover.
Yeah.
Big old tires on it and more advertisements for other stuff. You know, basically like what happens next week with Shockwave going into action.
Yep. For Zach.
What is a for Zach?
I think that's the noise you make when you pull the trigger on the Shockwave toy.
Oh, is that what that noise is?
Yeah.
It was really loud and obnoxious. Oh, let's see. And after that, we get back into Transformers, which obviously Buster did not keep his promise to his dad.
Yeah.
Because he's driving Ratchet.
Well, he's supposed to go back and just say his goodbyes.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
So. Which he knows, and we all know he's not going to just do that.
No, of course not. But they think they're going to like a victory celebration. They're pretty sure that, you know, yeah, something got broken in the fight, but you know, the Autobots won thanks to Dad poisoning the Decepticons.
Yeah, yeah. They obviously can't get them back to the Ark, but it must just be a technical problem because that's what always happens with technical problems.
Right.
And so yeah,
Wi-Fi's down.
You get back to Mount St. Hilary. By the way, there are power and phone lines going all the way to Mount St. Hilary, like where the Ark is. Who put up these power lines? You notice that?
That was some TVA work back in the 30s. It's government work.
Yeah.
If there's a road, we're running power lines down it and telephone lines.
Yeah, so they're running up there and like he's talking about Ratchet about, you know, getting involved in stuff, and Ratchet's like, look, I'm a doctor, I'm not much of a warrior. And I'm sure it's just some technical foul up that's going on that we can't get hold of him. So we'll check it out, see what happens.
I'm a doctor, not a warrior, damn it.
Yeah. and you know, apparently no one can beat Optimus. We know this is wrong already.
Yeah.
But,
but these guys, they don't know.
No one can beat Optimus. And they're driving like everything's going to be just fine. Until they show up and see, I don't know, is it enemy? Is it Rumble?
Yeah, it's Rumble and Frenzy.
And the perspectives of them are way off. Like Rumble or Frenzy or whichever one is like, almost like he's sitting on the ground. And the other one's standing there looking away.
Oh, you know, one of them got up on the rock to try to pretend to be the taller one.
Oh, King of the Hill?
Yeah, or like, you know, the the Mahler twins from Invincible. One's always trying to be better than the other one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And of course there's the whole like, oh no, Ratchet was saying there's, you know, something, we should stop checking out ahead of time. And Buster's was like, you're way too paranoid, Ratchet. And then that they walk him on that. So, yeah, Ratchet's like, my worst fears are realized. But he transforms into the Sunbow model, which is kind of nice.
Yeah.
Well,
by this point, it's established. They've got the character models. But not the character model colors.
Well, this is black and white, but no, yeah.
Next page.
Oh, yeah.
He's got Gears' paint job.
Man, in red hands, that just stands out, too.
Yeah.
Come
they
on.
They caught him red-handed.
No, Yamtov. Come on, man. I'm sure Yamtov is also coloring like 20 different issues or 20 different books at the same time. But, yeah. And then we are greeted to the hanging Autobots. They're hanging like meat.
Yep.
And there's Bumblebee, there's Huffer, there's Gears, there's Wheeljack, there's Ironhide, who is that? There's Hound. I think it might be Trailbreaker.
Yeah, it's Trailbreaker with a hole in his hood.
Yeah, and there's someone over here to the right. Can't quite make out.
It's Sunstreaker and Jazz.
Oh, okay.
Not Sunstreaker, sorry. Sideswipe and Jazz.
Okay, that makes more sense. Look at the arm. And
lots of Kirby crackles.
Yeah, tons of Kirby crackles. It's like they're having like yellow peas or yellow and black peas come out of them.
Right.
Energy. And they all look dead.
Out of Dr. Seuss machines at the bottom. Or is that like Commander Mark's Secret City down below?
It kind of looks like that.
Yeah.
And then, but worst of all, he runs away. It can't be true. There must be some explanation. There must be. And then, wait a second. I don't see Optimus in there. There's still Optimus. There has to be. And then he sees the head of Optimus Prime. This is the, if people who are toy collectors now, you've seen the comic version of Shockwave. It has the Optimus Prime head. This is exactly what it is. Head kind of held in place by these struts with wires coming out the back of the head. Because it's trying to extract the creation matrix.
Yeah, over like a pit.
Yeah. Like, Buster Witwicky, you must help me. And you're our last hope.
Help me, Obi-Wan Kenobi Witwicky.
Yeah. You're my last hope. So, yeah, just the head. And that's how it finishes up.
Yeah, it leaves us on that cliffhanger.
Yeah.
And he does the Shia LaBeouf Optimus,
which is funny. The that whole scene there at the end, it takes forever for the next issue to get back to that.
Like, oh yeah,
that whole thing in there in that room is just like taking forever. Like I don't know the time dilation in that chamber with Optimus Prime and Buster, but a lot of stuff happens next week.
Before I'm sure it focuses more on a big laser gun.
Big space laser and our future robot hater. But we'll get into that next time.
Yes.
So yeah, man, I honestly hate the line art in the book, but that was a lot of the early American stuff.
Yeah.
We got the
same line art we had from the UK stuff.
Oh no. We got super spoiled by the UK stuff. I think everyone did. Everyone's pretty much on the same page there. Like this is awful. Why? And I think it's brought up in like next issue's letters column.
Mm-hmm.
People start complaining about it pretty much. So
yeah, you'll get complaints about the difference in quality between the American issues and the UK issues.
Yeah, we don't see a jump to the UK again to like what issue 10 or so.
Oh yeah, it's a lot further down. Let's see.
Well,
well, we get the Decepticon Dam Busters, which is coming up.
Nice.
Yeah.
And there's more posture between Shockwave and Megatron. And, of course, there will be a Megatron-Shockwave fight coming up. All that fun stuff.
Yeah, so issue 29 is when we get back to UK stories.
Okay, that's not too bad. It's only, like, another 6 issues.
Yeah.
That's not too bad.
And then we just start bouncing back and forth between them.
which is gonna be real confusing, especially I guess they did the Iron
Man of Iron.
Man of Iron. When did they do that in the American?
I want to say it was 33 and 34, I think. Let's see. I think that was it. Yeah, it was pretty far in.
Which will probably do well to
33 and 34.
Keep separating the two universes. So.
Well, they acted like they were going to start bringing the issues over with that one. You know, like, oh, we're trying something out, and then they never did it again.
Well,
that was the only one they ported over.
I think, like, a lot of the problem I had with the Transformers books back then, it was is really hard to keep a consistent thing going with them. It seemed to jump around a lot.
I think they could have used the extra stories from the UK, though.
Oh, yeah. They definitely could have. Well, you know.
Yeah, I think it might have been the issue that they would have to recolor them all.
Oh, no. Because don't let Yamtov do that.
Yeah, which he did.
Yeah, I know.
So
I've seen it.
But yeah, the printing techniques in the UK was different than what they were using in the US. So they would have to recolor every one of those issues.
Well.
Yeah.
Yamtov is going to have his day anyways. Big jerk. But, you know, so it's the stakes jump up and things get back. As much as I hate the art, things move along. It's like the story finally progresses.
Well, you know, and you can't blame Yamtov for all of it, because when they did G2, he didn't color G2, and they had a lot of the same stuff going on color-wise with G2.
Yeah,
so but I think it was just Marvel's policies on, like, toy books. They just didn't care.
Yeah, I think that's what it is. Honestly, with... I know Yamtov was doing a lot of coloring, and he did a lot of really suspect bad coloring. But yeah, G2, really, they did a lot of bad color splashes. And I think it's because they weren't going to spend a lot of money on G2, just like they didn't know how well Transformers was going to do, so they didn't really spend a lot of budget on it. Because
yeah,
I know that this is the art of the time. We all know, if anyone who's grew up reading these books, you know, the art is pretty common, this style, but it's like they tried a little harder on some of these books.
Well, and it's weird because you hear stories like G.I. Joe, like, helped save Marvel when it came out.
Yeah.
And they did some of the same stuff with the coloring in G.I. Joe. Like, they just fill it in solid color, just get it out there.
Yeah. And it's almost like they thought it, you know, that people wouldn't just whatever. It's just a G.I. Joe book. No one will care.
It's a toy ad to them.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Which is not wrong.
No, they weren't wrong, but.
But it was a fun toy ad.
It's just a shame to see that that's what really hurt the book a lot of times was you know, the artwork and the coloring.
Yeah.
Especially when you see, like, underneath, there was, like, some solid pencils.
Yeah. Especially you see that with the UK stuff.
Mm-hmm.
You see that a lot of the line art was not bad at all. It was pretty nice.
And you'll see sometimes you'll have, like, the same penciler but different inkers, and you can see the difference that the inkers make on, like, how much detail shows up and how much gets just blotted in with, you know, black.
Yeah, that makes sense. And it's unfortunate, but I can totally see it.
Yeah. And deadlines are always looming on them, too. They always, that's like the specter that haunts every comic.
Yeah, some of them handle a little better than others.
Yeah.
Whew, yeah, this is a rough one still, but the line art just wasn't great. But not to say I didn't enjoy it, because the story gets going along, and I really like bringing in GB Blackrock, really, mm-hmm. next issue. He becomes pretty important in the especially in the American book.
Well, yeah, and this is where, you know, the comic really starts taking off. They're no longer bound by the limited series that was just a straight up advertise the toys. We get some divergence from the cartoon,
which is really cool.
Yeah, we get to really see Shockwave shine.
Yeah, Shockwave, the right now in these issues, Shockwave is so much like he is. It's like they took the Shockwave for the Skybound books,
mm-hmm.
out of this.
Yeah, it's the Shockwave in Skybound isn't so much like the TV version.
Oh, no. No, he is definitely this version.
It's a little bit of a mix, though, because he seems a little emotional at times.
Yeah.
But he's scary like this one. This Shockwave gets stuff done.
He does. He's a lot much better. He's a lot better of a leader than Megatron.
Well, and of course, you know, the story Budiansky wrote is matching the tech spec that Budiansky wrote.
Yeah.
Yeah, where, you know, he's another one that, you know, craves leadership.
Yeah. Except he's honestly much better than Megatron is.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's why, because if Megatron was better than him, he'd be fine being a subordinate. But
yeah, Megatron's really not that good at it.
He's a cold bureaucrat. You know, you mess up, you're out.
Yeah, actually, that's a great way to put it.
Yeah.
Interesting.
He's not as bad as Ratbat, which we'll see later. But
Ratbat.
You notice those two get along pretty well.
Well, yeah.
They're speaking the same language.
Rat Bat in the car wash of doom.
Man, those two will sit around and just talk about fuel efficiency for like hours.
For
no,
good
you
or
hang
real.
Up. No, you hang up.
Oh, you.
But oh, that's God. Way ahead of where we are now. But
oh yeah, we got some real bad episode issues to go before that. So
we got some good ones. They're not bad, but you know.
Well, they're entertaining.
Yeah. And you really get to see the roots of where everything came from.
And you get to see the robot master.
Oh, yeah.
God. Yeah. There are some real bad ones. But anyways, thanks everyone for checking it out. Listen to us ramble for a while because I'm going to cut this off because we'll ramble a lot longer.
We're old. We do that.
Yeah, we do that because we're old. Check out the Discord. Email us at morethanmeetstheseguys@gmail.com. Feel free to reach out. Be kind of cool to hear from you. Give us some nice reviews if you are still listening right now. A little thumbs up or a 5-star review. And, you know, it's kind of cool for us to read. And I will talk about your review on the show as we will never stop talking about 8-bit forever.
Yeah, I never got any hate mail.
So. Oh, I think it was less hate mail and more I'm just disappointed mail.
Yeah.
I'm not mad. I'm just disappointed.
Which, well, you know, he seemed to think that, you know, the way we talked about it, we don't like the franchise and we love it.
We love it.
Yeah.
That's the issue. We love
we've
it.
We've been eating, sleeping, and breathing this stuff for decades. So we know all the ins and outs, and even the warts. We love the warts.
The warts are some of the best parts sometimes.
Yeah.
Honestly, I don't know why, but they are. I can't wait to get some of the bad season 3 episodes and some of the best ones.
Yeah. For something that, you know, if I didn't like it, I wouldn't spend all my time and money and
sanity.
Yeah. Oh, well, that was long gone.
Oh.
That was gone while the series was still running.
Oh, the brain cells I could have saved all those years ago.
Right? But yeah, this is like an all-consuming hobby. And yeah, even the silly stuff and the goofs and, you know, the things that we can see in hindsight were better. I still loved it. Every issue and hunted for every one of these.
Oh, 100%.
I was a kid, yeah. And like, that's one of the things I've held on to through all natural disasters and everything is I still have my original run of the American comics. I've like kept them with me through everything. I've carried them out on a boat before when we had like a natural disaster. We had a 16 feet of water and I got my Transformer comics out.
In a boot.
Yeah. I saved them. And they're reader copies. None of them are going to be a 9.6 or
no.
I think even a 7. They were well loved. But yeah, I'd still hold on to them. I was actually more of a story person than the toys back then anyway. It was easier to get as a kid. You couldn't collect like we do now when you're a kid.
You know,
but you could get a buck for a comic once a month.
That was nice. And back in the days when no one cared about them, you can find them in the quarter bin.
Oh yeah. Those or I love the three packs that would like show up at Toys R Us and like the different stores and the bags. That's actually how I got a lot of like the, well, some of these issues that came after this. Like this one, for the longest time, I had that Collective Comics number 2 that went like issue 4 through 6. So I had that, and then I hunted down, I want to say the ones that came after that to the early 20s from the three baggers.
Interesting.
Yeah.
You know, I remember seeing those at the store, like at you know, Albertsons and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so I went crazy with those. And
The good old days.
And then you go to gas stations and pick up comics. I don't even see comics at gas stations at all.
No, those days are long gone, my friend.
Yeah.
No more gas station comics.
Because we do road trips, and that's the first thing I would look for. If we hit like gas stations and like truck stops, like on the road trips, I'd go in and just see what comics. Because sometimes you'd find comics you'd never seen before, like the Now Terminator series and stuff like that. That had those really cool covers. I think, was that Alex Ross that did those? Somebody famous did those covers.
I don't know. It might have been. I didn't look at it.
Yeah,
a long time stuff. I've looked at that stuff. The golden age of the 90s comic collecting, when, you know, people were more interested in Spawn than they were Transformers.
Oh, yeah. Well, this is before that. This was like 80s when I was doing that.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Like, I want to say like 87, 88. That was like when I really dove in. It was when the cartoon stopped airing, you know, that I dove headlong. I picked up comics here and there, but when the cartoon stopped after Rebirth is when I... It's like, well, I still need Transformers material. So I went back and just every issue I'd miss, I started hunting. And we started finding comic book stores popping up around that time. So
that's true. It was big, like golden age of comic stores. Yeah, I think it's where I got a lot of my my issues years back. I would go and just hit the comic. You said this comic book like weekend at like the local mall. It's actually where I got a lot of my Guar comics. And then I'd find all the Transformers books, and they'd be like 50 cents a piece or a quarter a piece, just because people just had a bunch of them.
Okay, yeah, it says Mitch O'Connell did that first Terminator cover.
Okay.
Which was a really big deal.
Sorry, I'll take a look at that. I'm not sure I remember the one you're talking about, so I'll look it up. All right. Well, in that case, I'll finally let this go for like the third time.
We just keep going.
Yeah.
Get me out of here.
Well, yeah, go hang with your family.
Right.
I'll see you later. Thanks for everyone for being here. Talk to you later.
Bye.
More Than Mises Guys is performed by Evan Johns and Ed Strickland with Boo of the Excellent Underground.com. Research is also done by Evan Johns, Ed Strickland, and Boo of the Excellent Underground.com. All used images are property of Hasbro, Sunbow, Paramount, and/or Marvel. And without you, none of this would be possible. So thank you so much for being here, and we look forward to you being here every week.